Oh, I wouldn't say that. Everybody else would, but no. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Tonight's message, written with this day in mind and eternity in view. A day of mourning till the morning of his new day. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. For some, I didn't watch it. I heard Brother Boyd say, couldn't watch it. You just couldn't watch it. I couldn't. I didn't turn on the TV. Couldn't do it. But I know that for many people today was a day of joyous celebration. Orange Man was gone, and everything is bright and cheerful again. So having said that, I want to be absolutely serious right now. It's not a day of celebration. It truly is a day of mourning. And the reason why that is that all the people, they're not our enemies. We're to pray for the lost. Those people who mistreat us and even persecute us, we need to pray for their salvation. Our true enemy is the spiritual wickedness that deceives and dupes people. They may hate us, but it's not our responsibility to hate them. We need to pray for these folks. But the fact that they're celebrating and they don't understand really the implications of the transfer that took place today is a sign that they are ignorant and they are totally unaware of the truth and the holiness of the living God. They're just clueless. And also we have to remember, if that be true, who's supposed to tell them any differently? That's us. We're in the third chapter of Malachi. Now let me just set this up. Remember that about 100 years earlier, there was in Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Jeremiah, Jerusalem had become and Judah had become a real moral cesspool. God had kept warning them, but in the end he brought in the Babylonians. We talked about that in Habakkuk. Habakkuk was all sorrowful about that, but God used them as an instrument. Now we're going into the future from the days of the Babylonian. That 70-year captivity is over. Cyrus, the Persian king, is on the throne with Nehemiah. The Exodus, they were allowed to go back to Israel to build the temple, to rebuild the law, and to rebuild the wall. And you would have hoped that now, about the year 430, about 100 years after all that agony and horror, that the Jewish people would have learned their lesson. No, they're just about as bad as we are. They did not learn their lesson. And I just jotted down here some things. As Malachi is talking to the people of Judah, after God mercifully allowed them to come home, society is corrupt. The leaders are hypocrites. The powerful are arrogant. The religious leaders are doing nothing but false worship. Sound vaguely familiar? There you go. And yet what I've just said does not describe everyone. For thankfully there is a godly remnant. And in our land in the United States of America, the country as a whole can be going one direction, but there are still people in the United States of America who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So let's just look at it here, because here's where we meet them in chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, and that's what I'm going to briefly and quickly go through here tonight. Whenever a pastor says briefly, just say, you're not going to fool me. Then they that feared the Lord, so we're talking about a group within the group, this remnant. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son, that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I'm going to look real quickly at each one of these three verses. The first one is God talks about his remembrance, or my remembrance, says the Lord God. You remember that They talk about the good thief, came on the cross as a bad thief. But at some point, these two guys were mocking Jesus. And the one finally called out and said something along this line. He said, "Do you not fear God? Do you not know that we are getting the just reward? We're getting the justice of what we have done wrong, our sin. Do you not realize that this man in the middle, he hath done nothing wrong? We're getting what we deserve." And then he turns to Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, in agony and pain, looks back right then and says, "I say unto you, behold, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Brothers and sisters, friends, I'll say it bluntly about myself. I have people who love me and care for me, but after a couple of generations, I'll be forgotten. The people 100 years from now, they're not going to care about that I live sometime. And there may be people who know me now who don't care for me, despise me. And they may take it time out of their day, every day, to pass my grave just to spit on it. But you know what? Go for it. And I say this sincerely. I say it for me and I say it to you. Because if you've trusted in Jesus Christ and you have remembered him, forget everybody else. If Jesus remembers you, everything's fine. These people in the midst, like I think Bible-believing congregations all over this country, are speaking and talking. And I hope we're talking, and as it was in that day, that God is listening and he hearkened unto them. Because we're not here tonight toward the Lord God Almighty and going like this. We're going like this. We trust you. We've committed ourselves to you. You are our everything. No matter what comes along, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard, it was the Babylonians back then, it was the Third Reich. Who knows what's going to be coming our way in America now? But in a sense, it does not matter. Because we're saying to our Lord, no matter what happens, your judgments are righteous. You don't make any mistakes. We're going to trust in you like little kids toward their heavenly Father. And we're just looking to you. And as everybody else in Judah were forgetting God, they didn't care about God. It says here in that verse, "Them that feared the Lord spake often one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." You know, God's omnipotent and he's omniscient. So he hears everything. He knows what we're thinking. But this is different. He's not just aware of what they're saying, but in the midst of all the people that are hating God and forgetting God, these people are saying, we must remember not to forget our God. No matter how bad things get, we still need to pray. We need to read the scriptures. We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to love one another. No matter what's happening out there with us, we're family. We stick together because we're all covered with the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So he says, you know what? Since you didn't forget me, I want to tell you something, says God in this verse. He says, as the years go by and the bad things come, he said, it's going to be hard. It's going to be rough. That's the truth. But he said, in the midst of all the difficulty, you have hearkened unto me. You have not forgotten me. And that gives me glory. And let me tell you something, my children. I will not forget you. And I have a book that I've written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. As we leave this verse, can I say to you right now, I said it, but I want to say it one more time. These next 4 years, you know, who knows God's timetable? But this thing that happened today, this transfer of power, there's never any transfer from the power of above. He's on the throne. He's in control. If what's happened in the next 4 years, it's not an obstacle to us. It is an opportunity for us to be faithful and share the good news no matter what happens. All right? Now, here's the thought here on this, because from Romans 13, and we know with the COVID, there is that principle, we've talked about this, be subject to the governing authorities. God's put them there. And as long as they're protecting you and they're doing the right thing and they're not picking and choosing winners and losers, then we go along with that. But I got a feeling that might be set aside. I got a fund and they might start to pick on us and want to persecute us. They've been mocking us. Big tech's trying to silence us. They're talking about punishing us. You know, once they smell that blood in the water, that hate just, you know, it starts taking on a thing of its own. So let them do what they will do. All these things. But we're going to stay faithful to the Lord our God no matter what they do. Just want to make sure here. Page is full with the name of the godly, the remnant who feared the Lord, their thought focused and on him meditated. You can stay here, but because I got to keep moving, but I just want to go back for a moment. I was going to share it back there in the days of talking about Habakkuk, but I did not do that. But you could probably quote it by memory, but I want to make sure I read it. Here's another guiding principle, because it's so easy to... I wasn't even paying attention. My wife said to me, hey, they're going to close down that Keystone Pipeline, or he wants to try to close down that Keystone Pipeline. I'm sitting around thinking like that? Isaiah 26:3. God's like, hey, Earl, anybody home? Listen to this one. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It's not what those people think they're doing. It's what he's permitting. It's a test for us. It's a trial for us. It's an opportunity for us. When they do something that's going to drive me crazy, I'm just going to sit there and say, I don't agree with it. But you're not going to change my mind. You're not going to get into my spirit. You can try to change the policies, but you're not going to change me. You're not going to change us. We have this inner peace. We have a steadfastness. No matter what you try to do, let me read it one more time, then we got to go. That will keep him in perfect peace. That will keep her in perfect peace. Thank you, lady. There you go. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Memorize that. Put it on your refrigerator. Don't have it tattooed on your arm. But make sure you have it, because that's going to be important in these next years. Let's go to the next one, verse 17. It goes from my remembrance to my relationship. I think we already know this, but it bears just repeating right now. When one trusts the living God and comes to Christ, we are not just friends. We are adopted into the family of God. We are his family. I want to tell you something. We all have, you know, you talk about this ancestors.com and all this stuff. Hey, can't touch me. You can't touch us. We're brothers and sisters. And you know who our father is? He's the living God. Amen. We are his sons and his daughters. We got a pretty good pedigree. We've been adopted into the family of God. Now, we had to be pardoned, but we're in the family. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And that's good news. Like we said, don't be mistaken. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Habakkuk, he had to be told. He said, you know what? There's that song we're going to sing. Mercifully, I will not sing it to you, but you help me here along with it. It says it, but when we see Christ, it will be worth it all. No matter what we go through, when we get up there, it's going to be worth it all. I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Now, here's something else. These people that are real happy today, you know why they're more happy than anything else, the people in there? Because they have the thing that it's their God. It's what they eat, drink, sleep, eat, and everything. They have power. And so they may not say it out loud, but there are people in this country, humanists, secularists, whoever they might be, progressives, that if they had their way, they want you and me not just silenced, they really want us dead. I'm not being sensational, and I don't see anybody here and say like, oh. No, you know it. That's where we're headed. Whenever people like ultimately get in control and get power, it's to get rid of you. Now, in other words, they're all happy because now they've got control, and they think that they're going to be able to pour out on us their wrath. That's a very important word in Scripture, wrath, orge and thumos. And again, we need to pray for these people and not hate these people, because here's what they don't realize, because they don't pay attention to this book. They think they're going to subject us to wrath. They are not. We'll be gone. They are the ones who are going to face the wrath. 1 Thess chapter 5 and verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Seriously, like with the Jews and his church, Israel being the apple of God's eye, these people literally, they don't know who they're messing with. And also, I want you to go back just for a moment, if you will, to Psalm chapter 2. Again, this is just warning and counsel. This is good counsel from the Lord our God. He is very long-suffering. He is very patient. I know that from personal experience. You get down to Psalm chapter 2, look at verses 10 through 12. Here's a word of wisdom to the world, to the power structures, this new power today. Here's what the Lord God says to this new administration in Washington. Oh, you've got all your policies, you've got all your plans, but here ought to be primary number one. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Listen, he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Stop doing what you're doing. If you want to talk about policy and reality, come to the Son, come to the living God. Repent of your sin. Don't celebrate it. And kiss the Son while you can. But I have a sneaking suspicion that as the years go by, they're just going to be busy in what they like to do. It's called kicking the Son. But they don't realize with this idea of Thumos and Orge, this Jesus who's coming back is not the little humble Lamb of God. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's going to be a day coming that after they've not kissed him and they've kicked him, he's going to kick back. And that's going to be the outpouring of his wrath. So again, we have to pray for these people. He's going to take us out of here in the days of wrath because we are his family, but the world is not. I want to go on, and I got 8 minutes to go here. I got all kinds of time. I want to go to the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. Now this here, I'm thinking, wow. I don't know if it's going to be this crowd in Washington right now, but sometime in the future, there's just going to be this worldwide thing. There will be the Antichrist, and they're going to think that they've got the power. They think that they've got they're thinking they're going to win the battle. And they're all going to come against Jerusalem. Another big push to exterminate the Jews, all these believers in Jesus and all this stuff, the saints who will be there in that day, that we're going to see them coming thinking they're going to win this. But look with me, if you will, in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. Flip, 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 flip. Here we go. And this shall be the plague. Coronavirus, it's going to be like a bad case of the hiccups. Okay? And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes or the sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. All the people that mock the Lord, mock his children, mock the Jews, oh, they think they're so big and bad. They're going to have their skin, their bodies, their eyes, their tongue just dissolve right within them, and they're just going to go poof. They don't know who they're dealing with. So pray for them. Finally, we had in verse 16, my remembrance. Number 17, thank God. If there's somebody here tonight and you're not absolutely positively certain that you're in relationship with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't want to go to bed tonight because God's not guaranteed you a tomorrow. This is something you have to know and know it and know that you know it, that you have come before the living God, Jesus Christ, and you have said, I know I'm a sinner, I admit I'm a sinner, and I know that you came to earth. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I want you to save me and come into my very life from my heart to your heart. I want you to be my Savior. If you're here tonight and you're not sure, you're not positive, if you were to die tonight, you're not absolutely certain that you'd go home to be with Jesus Christ, if you don't have that peace, then I would beg of you, appeal to you, do business, because these days ahead are going to be different kind of days. Finally, my righteousness there. Okay, I'm going back to Malachi, because he says basically what, you know, God told Habakkuk. He said, Habakkuk, you know what your problem is? Your tunnel vision. All you can think about is your day, your time, your problems and everything. But he said, you got to get that big picture, because in the end, I'm going to return. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 18. My righteousness. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. The wicked will have their time, but one day God's going to say, time's up. And here's the thing that, just to bring it today, and I'll just to say it right here. We're living in a day, you know the verse there in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto those that make darkness light. Woe unto those, you know, that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto those that have tried to flip this thing over, like the book 1984. What I see coming again, and it comes every time these kind of folks get in control, is that what God calls wicked, they call wonderful. What God calls vile, they say it's a virtue. What God condemns, they think we ought to celebrate. And can I tell you something? They say, we need to celebrate diversity. I was running through downtown Battleground. Doesn't take long to do that. You'll never confuse it with the downtown Chicago loop, okay? And I'm going through little Battleground. I'm looking over here, and I see all these different colors, kind of the rainbow color. And I'm reading there on the door there and everything, and it's, you know, celebrate diversity. And I'm thinking to myself, I celebrate diversity. There's not a restaurant I don't like, all right? Any kind of restaurant, everything, I'm ready to go. I like, and if you guys want to come up here and give me money, I'll open my wallet. I don't care if it's a 1, a 5, a 20, a 50, a 100. I celebrate diversity. It can be any of them, okay? But here's the real celebration of diversity, because of my time. Whether you're a little boy or a little girl and you've trusted Jesus, whether you're a teenager, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're old, doesn't matter if you're male or female, Gentile or Jewish, rich or poor, doesn't matter the color of your skin, doesn't matter what continent you live on or what language you speak, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, there is the beautiful mosaic of the celebration of the diversity of the people of God, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm really sick, and I'll just have to keep praying for these people, because don't tell me to celebrate diversity. What you're really telling me is to promote perversity. And that's not the same thing. Back in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 25, God said to the Canaanites when he was bringing his people in, he said, these people have been so perverse, so wicked, so horrible, that even the ground, the land itself, is going to vomit them out. That's pretty graphic. That's pretty graphic. And so closing up, when the time's up, the time is up, and the Lord's going to come back, he will return, and he's going to say, all those who tried to turn my ways and my will and my children inside up and upside down, there's going to be not a day of mourning, but there's going to be a brand new mourning spelled the other way, because it's going to be the first mourning of his eternal day. He loves us with an everlasting love. It'll be determined. There'll be judgment, the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serveth him not. There won't be a squad anymore, but there will be the 12 apostles and all the people of God in the multiple millions. Let's pray. Lord God, let us keep our eyes and our focus on you so that we can have this steadfast looking and this peace that only you can provide. Lord God, please, not to forget mercy. Lord, it gives you no joy that so many sons of Adam and daughters of Eve have turned away from you. Let us pray for these people. If there's going to be a great, horrible wrath upon them, let it be because you bring it to them, not because we're trying to take vengeance. That's not our job. It's our job to pray for these people and win them. But again, as we saw with Habakkuk, as with this man here tonight, may we, the sons and daughters, the children of God, believers in Jesus Christ in these days, just believe on you no matter what, as you will be faithful and remember us. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we get an amen?
Amen. 604, let's all stand.